Election Night Coverage 2024 on American Family Radio. AFA President Tim Wildman, Vice President Ed Vitagliano, News Director Fred Jackson.
Wesley will be here. Walker will be here.
And the American Family News team bring you election returns and analysis from a Christian perspective.
We'll be up here for 5 or 6 hours.
Yes.
And on election night beginning at 6 Central, it's Election Night Coverage 2024 on American Family Radio. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I hope you're having a great Friday morning. Debbie and I just got back from Branson, Missouri. We left on Sunday night to go to Little Rock because we had a Keep the Beat test done in Little Rock on Monday morning early, and kept calling it Skip the Beat. That's not what they want you to do. They want you to keep the beat. And so we had our hearts checked out and everything checked out well. And then from there, we had lunch with my daughter, my youngest daughter, Sarah. She works at Baptist Hospital there in Little Rock, and we got to meet all the docs she works with. And that was a fun time. And then from there, we went to Branson, Missouri. That's one of our favorite places to go is Branson. And we just had a great time together. We saw the Haygoods. I don't know if you've ever seen the Haygoods. They are brothers and one sister, all related. They are tremendous. And so I encourage you to go see them if you get the opportunity. But we got back yesterday afternoon. And ready to go, I want to give a shout-out to Bishop E.W. Jackson, who filled in for me. He always does such a great job. He's a dear friend, and I admire him greatly. Well, Psalm 29, verse 10. Great psalm to remember, especially if you're anxious about this election. The psalmist says this, "The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever." And so we know that's the Psalm of David. We know that the Lord is in charge. We don't need to fear. And Psalm 46, verse 10, the Lord says, "Cease striving and know that I am God." King James, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." Now, we have with us today, back again, my good friend Scott Coulter. Dr. Scott Coulter is the president of the Danbury Institute. It's an association of churches, Christians, and organizations designed to pursue positive progress in preserving life and liberty in the United States of America. Scott, welcome to the program today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. Good morning. Always great to be with you and your people. So glad to be here.
Thank you, my friend. Okay, something that you're organizing, Scott, that I think is very critical, and that is a time of fasting and prayer for this election. I have stated that because of the cheating that we know will take place, Republicans aren't immune from the sin of cheating, but it seems to be almost primarily directed toward the left cheating. And I have stated that it's going to take a miracle of God for the vote not to go Harris's way because of all the cheating. And Christians need to be voting and Christians need to be praying. So tell me about this initiative from the Danbury Institute to get Christians to pray.
Absolutely. Happy to do so. And you know, Pastor, I believe this time, this election specifically is a spiritual election, even more than a physical election, with the types of topics that are on the ballot and are being considered this year. We've looked at the historic trends of where the Democratic Party used to be and even where the Republican Party used to be. And if you go back, 40 or 50 years, those two parties were so much closer than they are today. They would differ over things like marginal tax rates or differ over things about welfare reform or something like that. But when you look at the parties today, they are radically in extreme and opposite different directions relating to things like life and things of evil and morality and things of marriage and family and protection of children. And so the the what we think of as the political realm is not what the historic political realm is. It has moved over into the realm of theology and into the realm of where the church exists and into spiritual matters. Those are the types of things that are up for this election. And so Christians absolutely must be engaging. We must be voting this time. There's really no excuse not to. This is part of our Christian duty, and we can talk about that more this morning. But Christians have another tool in their belt as well, and that's to go before the Lord, and that's to take these matters before him and to beseech the throne of God in prayer by earnest supplication and through fasting. And so the Danbury Institute, we've opened up one more avenue to do that. We've opened a 24/7 prayer time where individuals can go onto our website and sign up for a 15-minute block to commit to pray for our country, to pray for our churches, to pray for this election, for God's will to be done, and really to pray for biblical values to be upheld in this election. I'm not interested in people or individuals. I'm interested in policies and how they relate to Scripture. And so you can sign up there. Our website is the Danbury Institute, DanburyInstitute.org, and then /pray. That will take you to this page. It has a prayer guide there that talks about how to vote according to your values and how to pray according to our biblical values for this election, for what's going on in our country right now, and then also to sign up for a prayer slot. You can sign up for one day, or you can sign up for that slot every single day all the way through the election, but we've got 11 days left, and Christians, absolutely, I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. There's so much political discussion coming at everyone right now, but this is not a time to withdraw. This is a time to lean in and to participate, to come before the Lord, to ask that his will would be done in our country, that he would protect our nation, our families, all of those things as well.
Amen. I think that is the key. And I've been reading in Jeremiah, and the Lord says repeatedly, you know, if you'll return to me, then I will forgive your iniquity. And God would have reversed the direction that they were going in, and Babylon coming to destroy them, had they repented. And that's just like he did with Nineveh. He will do with us, but it's going to take us to pray, to seek his face, to turn from our wicked ways, to get serious about God. Hey, Scott, I was noticing on your website, you have some great quotes from some of the founding fathers. I want to read a couple of these and get you to comment. James Madison said this, quote, "The future and success of America is not in this Constitution, but in the laws of God upon which this Constitution is founded." And then one by Samuel Adams, quote, "Liberty will not long survive the total extinction of morals," unquote. So, Scott, as we look at America, and we are seeing the total extinction of morals, especially as it relates to politics. I mean, it's nothing for a politician to lie, and we just accept it as, oh, okay, you're just lying, so I got to read through the lies. We don't seem to hold people accountable to those lies anymore. And, you know, as James Madison said, hey, our future's not in the Constitution, it's on the laws of God. And if we reject the laws of God, there is no future for us. So when we look at what's going on in America today, how do we say, yeah, but there's hope?
That's a great, great discussion topic for this morning. We know, Pastor Jeff, and one of the reasons I love your church and love you is that you stand up week in and week out, Sunday after Sunday, and preach that the Word of God is true, that it is inerrant, that it is infallible, that it's sufficient for accomplishing its purpose in our life, and that is the rock upon which we rest as believers and followers of Christ. And we are followers of absolute truth that comes from Scripture. If God is its author and Scripture is breathed out by God, then that is absolute truth. So it's not up for discussion. It's not up for debate. It's only up for us to understand it and to apply it and to follow it, to believe it, in essence, there. And so we recognize we have that center of absolute truth that comes from the character of God. So God determines what is good because he is good. He determines what is moral and what is just because he is moral and he is just, and that's expressed to us through his word. So those topics today, morality, justice, those types of things are really not negotiable. They're not up for debate. They're not up for discussion. And as Christians, we have access to what is absolute truth. We have access to what is morally just and what is morally good and what is evil. The Bible makes those things very, very clear to us. And so the Constitution is a great document. I love the Constitution. I support and defend the Constitution, but it is not inspired scripture. The people that wrote the Constitution, though, our original framers and our founding fathers, understood this idea of absolute truth and morality and justice, and they brought those concepts over into the Constitution and set up a government that was based to exist around a moral people and based to exist around a just society that understood right versus wrong, good versus evil, and all of those things. What we're seeing today in the world is the fracturing of our values that this country has always held. It's really like an upside-down world. Things that used to be commonly accepted have been turned on their head. Things like God made us two genders, male and female, he made us. Things about the definition of marriage, one man and one woman coming together in a holy union of matrimony for life commitment to each other. Things about procreation and being an act that's guarded within the marital union for a man and a woman together. Things about raising your children in the home and educating them and being responsible for their education. Things that this nation has always just accepted and taken for granted as being true. Those are being turned on their head right now and said, we don't know what a woman is. We don't know what a marriage is. We're misdefining and redefining all of those things. And what those quotes remind us of is that we have to get back to a moral agency in this country or our country will fail. It's not built to work in an agnostic or in a neutral setting. It's built to work in a setting that understands morality and justice. And those matters really belong to the church. And so what we're doing through the Danbury Institute is calling churches and pastors to rise up and to reengage and to speak out about these issues of morality in our world and in our culture today. If the church can't figure those out and can't get them straight, how on earth will we ever expect our politicians or our culture at large to do so?
Amen. Here's another quote, one of my favorites, Scott, from John Adams. This was given October 11th, 1798, when he wrote to the Massachusetts militia. He says, because we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions, unbridled by morality and religion, avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry, would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. We are no longer, Scott, I know you would agree with this, we are no longer a moral and religious people across the board.
Right.
And so then it's like, okay, the Constitution can't really, it wasn't designed for a bunch of hellions. It was designed for people who fear God. And we desperately need to return to that, or kind of the handwriting's on the wall. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I agree with that completely. And we're seeing, unfortunately, in our society, case after case, instance after instance, really where the Constitution is not being upheld. There's Christians who are going to Planned Parenthood centers and who are merely praying outside of a Planned Parenthood center for the abortions taking place inside, for the parents that are walking into that building intending to take the life of their child. They're standing outside, they're praying for those cases, and we've seen case after case in Europe and Canada, and now even in the United States, unfortunately, of people being arrested and jailed for praying that God would intervene in those situations outside of an abortion center in those cases there. That's an overwhelming violation of our religious freedom, of our freedom of speech, of our ability to communicate with God. Certainly, we back in Danbury, with our institute, we hearken back to the Danbury Baptist that wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson. And as a newly elected president in 1801, 1802, asked him to commit to protect religious liberty in this country. That's what those men and women had come to America seeking, and were asking him to protect any government infringing upon their ability to worship and to practice their religion as they so desired. Of course, the famous letter from Thomas Jefferson back to the Danbury Baptist, January 1st, 1802, said that we will, of course, protect that. We will not infringe upon those rights. We will safeguard those rights in different ways there and make sure that you have the ability to practice your religion. That's a matter between man and between God, not for the government to interfere in that. That's been misrepresented, misinterpreted. Separation of church and state has been wildly overblown in a way that he did not originally mean it there. But that was a safeguard of our religion from our earliest presidents there. And we're seeing so many infringements in those rights today.
Well, we really are, and that's why it brings us back to prayer. That is the hope for us, is to call upon God. God has the answers we need, and I mean, it seems like the answer that many don't want to hear, but is very obvious. We have to return to the Lord. We have to turn our hearts back to Him. We have to practice 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. We have to deal with the sin in our own lives. He says, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. President Trump's not going to heal the land. Only the Lord can heal our land. But Kamala Harris, I believe, will do all she can to destroy our land, destroy our morals, and bring havoc and the judgment of God on the land in a much more rapid fashion. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm talking to Dr. Scott Coulter, the president of the Danbury Institute, and we're up against a break, but we'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. I'm on the line with Dr. Scott Coulter, president of the Danbury Institute. It's an association of churches, Christians, and organizations who are pursuing positive progress in preserving life and liberty in the United States of America. Now, Scott, did you watch the town hall that Kamala Harris did with Anderson Cooper just a couple of days ago?
Could manage the stomach throughout that evening there.
Well, I'm going to play a couple of clips from that and get your comments on that. From all I could ascertain, I wasn't able to watch the whole thing, but she didn't close the deal, as one of the CNN commentators said. But you know, she's on a home field. CNN is all in the tank for her, and Anderson Cooper wants her to win, obviously. But he asked her some questions that she really struggled to answer. And one of the questions is kind of a question you might get asked in a general job interview. And she had no answer for this. And this is clip two.
Is there something you can point to in your life, political life or in your life in the last 4 years, that you think is a mistake that you have learned from?
I mean, I've made many mistakes. And they range from, you know, if you've ever parented a child, you know, you make lots of mistakes too. In my role as vice president, I mean, I've probably worked very hard at making sure that I am well versed on issues. And I think that is very important. It's a mistake not to be well versed on an issue and feel compelled to answer a question.
Well, it's a mistake not to be well versed on issues. Okay, that doesn't answer the question. She didn't answer really any question. She never seems to answer a question. So what do you make of that, Scott?
Well, it's massively ironic just on its face. She has done several of these interviews, from Bette Brayer to MSNBC to CNN, all the way down the line, and even to 60 Minutes with CBS recently, on very friendly home turf, and just gives these word salad answers that really don't make sense and are incoherently rambling through something unrelated to the topic she was asked about. We're seeing that here as well. But to say that her only weakness is that she works too hard to understand the issues. That just absolutely is laughable on its face. She doesn't seem to have a grasp of even understanding the issues that she's being directly asked about in any kind of a coherent sense. And so for that to be the only weakness she could come up with, in addition to parenting troubles, as she has spent the last 4 years in the vice presidency and has led to an open border in our country, led to some of the highest inflation, led to one of the worst economies we've ever experienced. Down the line, you can look at the issues that are facing our families, our churches, our individuals in this country, and she was part of all of those decisions. To be able to not come up with one mistake or one weakness that she thinks she needs to better address really is, I find it pretty humorous.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And somebody pointed out, as she talked about parenting, well, Kamala Harris is a stepmom to Doug Emhoff's children. And when she married Doug, his son Cole was nearly 20 years old, and his daughter Ella was 15 years old. So there's not a lot of it. You know, it makes it sound like, well, I was raising these kids for all these years. And Scott, you have two little kids, and I had raised three kids, and they're grown now. But we do make a lot of mistakes in parenting. But it's a little deceiving to talk about, well, you know, I had these children that I parented, when you really didn't do that. One of the things that was shocking to me, and I want to play a clip from CNN, because the CNN panels are starting to treat her a little more objectively, and they're starting to unload on her a little bit, which is normal and right for any candidate. But this is what was said after her town hall by CNN.
When she doesn't want to answer a question, her habit is to kind of go to word salad city. And she did that on a couple of answers. One was on Israel. Anderson asked a direct question, would you be stronger on Israel than Trump? And there was a 7-minute answer, but none of it related to the question he was asking.
She doesn't have to be flawless, but she has to give you something. I mean, she's like a true double threat. You know, she's terrible on her feet when she gets unexpected questions. And simultaneously, she can't even answer the expected questions. It's nothing, nothing, nothing. You'd think she'd be prepared to do this by now. You know, what's a mistake you've made? Nothing. What's a weakness you have? Nothing. What's the first law you want to pass? Nothing. What's a policy difference between you and Joe Biden? Nothing. Over and over and over. Empty, empty, empty. If she were an animal, she'd be a duck-billed platitude.
But look, it's
a duck-billed platitude. So does that surprise you, Scott, that she's getting some honest critique from her hometown crowd?
Well, it's fascinating to watch this play out in real time before us here. This has been almost a decade now, Pastor Jeff, that the media has been really almost entirely one-sided in their approach to this. Way back from when Donald Trump ran against Hillary Clinton in 2016, and people began to first notice that he was receiving very difficult spiked questions in a way there, and that she would receive these softball questions that were already pre-approved or were her normal talking points there, moved all the way through, of course, to Joe Biden in the 2020 election, hiding and unwilling to engage, unwilling to do interviews, unwilling to come out, really, and talk about his issues while Donald Trump was on the road and on the campaign trail, and no one was willing to raise that issue or to bring that to light and ask him the difficult questions. All the way through his presidency, we saw that, and so, of course, you know, fake news has become just a common word in our homes and in our mouths. That wasn't a thing prior to about 10 years ago, and any of these news agencies in the last decade could have started asking tough questions, started being fair and balanced, really, in their reporting and in their questioning, and made that moniker just look totally silly, but they haven't. They've been unable to do so until very recently, and to see CNN, people who have been just Democratic shills for these candidates, now come out and ask some questions and point out that she's not giving substantive answers, she's not responding, really is kind of fun to watch in this final stretch here. We haven't seen this in decades in our legacy secular media.
Well, it's speaks volumes to me that when you won't answer a question and you don't want people to know where you stand on issues of, you know, transgenderism and do you support this? And, you know, she says, well, I'll follow the law. You know, that's not the question. The question is, what is in your heart? What do you think? She doesn't want the interview with Bret Baier on Fox. I mean, she didn't answer any question. Very frustrating. I think that most people, if you're going to be honest and fair-minded, you say, oh, well, at least answer the question. You can hate President Trump, but he does answer questions. You do know where he stands on things, and she has made it her goal to not let you know where she stands on things, to flip-flop on fracking, let's say, or some issue like that. And my feeling is, Scott Coulter, why don't the candidates just tell you where they stand on issues, and then the American people can make an informed decision? Why do you think there's so much deception on the left when it comes to what their policies and what their positions actually are?
Well, and we have to say here, Pastor Jeff, at this junction, that she's running for the office of the Presidency of the United States, the highest office in our country, but really in the world. And the questions she's being asked are not difficult questions. They are base-level entry questions that voters not only want to hear the answer to, but have a right to hear the answer to. Things like, what would be your first policy decision that you would make if elected president? Asking her for one of her top priorities that she wants to see accomplished in her administration, asking for one difference between her and President Biden in what they would do, asking for one mistake or one regret that she has from her time in 4 years in the White House and the state that our country's in currently. And in each of those instances, she's scrambling, she's trying to spin things, she's talking off topic with this word salad that does not answer the topic, doesn't answer the questions. And so not only is it entertaining, but it's really an atrocity for the American people trying to figure out how to make an informed decision. Those who care about their citizenship and in protecting our country and being informed voters, they're not able to be informed voters. And then also we see this flip-flop going back and forth. And so a few months ago, she was against drilling for oil and fracking. Now she seems to be open to it and for it. A few months ago, we see radical abortion rhetoric and those types of things, and that's softening now. And so it's impossible to know where she actually stands on certain issues, where they stand on these things. Just yesterday, Tim Walz tweeted, and he said, I want to talk to the men out there for a moment. You're participating in this election for your wives and your daughters and your grandchildren, and so that's who you're voting to protect. And I wanted to retweet that. I probably will still. This is the idea of this. For him to come out now and say, you're doing this to protect your daughters and your wives and your grandchildren, that's exactly why conservatives and Christians are turning out to vote. Tim Walz has allowed women, men into women's locker rooms, men into women's sports. He's allowed abortion all the way up until the ninth month and even beyond that in his state there. And so for him to come out now and have this kind of a talking point that they've clearly prepared for him, that you're voting to protect your wives and your daughters, that's laughable. That's incorrect in every single way. But really, it's an evil manipulation of the American voter bloc.
We're talking to Dr. Scott Coulter, president of the Danbury Institute. Now, Scott, I know you keep your finger on the pulse of things in culture. You know, you're very astute on that. And one of the big issues that people have, people, conservatives especially, is election integrity. Have the Republicans done anything to try and ensure integrity in this election? Or are we going to see a repeat of 2020 where it's going to take 2 weeks for them to count the votes and that kind of thing?
I'm very optimistic and very concerned at the same time, if it's possible to be both of those things. We were at an event with pastors and faith leaders just a couple of days ago in Atlanta, and once that event concluded, we had an opportunity to walk across the street and join into the Trump rally that was happening in the area there as well. The turnout for that rally was overwhelming. There were people, the room was packed. There were people lined up literally for miles outside trying to get in. They started lining up almost 12 hours before he spoke that morning to get in. So there is a true surge of energy and interest in this election right now, which I'm grateful for. We're seeing all of that on the rise. But we're also seeing concerning reports. There's reports happening in Colorado as well as in Tennessee and Georgia and some in Texas of people casting their early ballots and seeing it print out with a different name than they were confident they had selected. And so those are processing through in some ways there, but there's already been concerns raised of what are the voting machines doing? Do I trust that what I'm voting for is being processed and counted correctly? There was a case in Colorado where they've now admitted there were fraudulent ballots that were cast, and they don't know how to find them or catch them. So they've already gone into the system. They will be counted. And so we know those things are happening. There's likely fraud in every single election, but the scale of it is what's concerning. I saw a video this morning of a man in in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, where he had walked up to a storefront and they had covered up the windows and put Harris Walls signs up for the campaign, but they had blacked out and put curtains over the windows where you couldn't see what was happening inside. They were putting up signs that they're hiring for $25 an hour. And when he steps back and looks over, it's just a couple doors down from a post office. Now, of course, you know, we can't know what's happening in there, but that's concerning to see during early voting blacked off rooms with people being paid to do something unknown what inside right next door to a voter drop box location and to where votes can be processed from mail-in ballots and things like that. So we must be vigilant. The RNC has hired hundreds of thousands and secured hundreds of thousands of volunteers, of poll watchers and lawyers in states to watch over this. So they're certainly doing what they can. But yes, I'm very concerned about that. And really the solution is that we have to turn out in greater numbers to vote. We have to participate. This is not an election where anyone can afford to stay home.
That's for sure. You know, one last thing, Scott. I saw where some prominent pastors, they did an election sermon, but they were seemed to be harder on the right than on the left. And, you know, kind of downplayed the abortion issue. And I don't know what they're trying to do. It seems like they're just that, like that one guy tweeted out, you know, never Trump, always Jesus. What in the world does that mean? And how are you helping people to move toward righteousness if you're leaving this thing so ambiguous and really skewed toward the left?
Well, the man you're mentioning there is Ray Ortlund, the pastor in Tennessee. And what he said was never Trump, this time Harris, always Jesus. And so what he's doing is using his platform to hundreds of thousands of followers and people that he is supposed to be spiritually shepherding, and he is encouraging them in this election to vote for the Harris-Walls ticket, which is the most radical pro-abortion ticket we have ever faced in this country, which is the ticket in the administration that will bring about open borders in our country and the fentanyl epidemic, which is harming our children. There's 320,000 children right now in the sex slave and slavery trade in this country that are unaccounted for, that's coming across our southern border. They're advocating for women being invaded in their sports and their locker rooms by men. And so this is the most radical, ungodly, unbiblical, immoral ticket we had ever faced. And he's using his spiritual platform as a pastor and as a leader to encourage people to vote for that. That is something that God will judge him for, and that really is inexcusable in the Christian faith. I have no tolerance for that.
Yeah, it's just horrific. And, you know, you think about how could somebody be that deceived to think that this is a godly choice. I mean, it is not. Now, we would both agree, hey, we may not like the choices that we have, but it's a binary choice. Either Harris is going to be president or Trump is going to be president, barring either one of them dying in the next 2 weeks. But that's what it's going to be. It's not going to be a third party. And so between those two, the choice that would be most aligned with Scripture is pretty obvious to me. And how you see it any different from that is just mind-blowing. Any last
absolutely.
Comments?
That's absolutely correct. No, that's absolutely correct. This is a biblical party, a biblical position in so many ways with the sanctity of life, with religious liberty. He's overturned Roe v. Wade through his Supreme Court justices, and Trump's not a perfect person, but we're voting for his policies. He's open to people of faith, like my pastor, Jack Graham, Pastor Robert Jeffress, Richard Land, so many different men of faith influencing his thoughts and his views and having input into his administration. As people of faith, the choice is very clear this year.
Amen. Well, Dr. Scott Coulter, the president of the Danbury Institute, has been with us. Scott, thanks so much for coming on today. God bless you, my brother. Keep on keeping on.
Thank you, Pastor. Always a joy.
Thank you. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We had been talking to Dr. Scott Coulter, the president of the Danbury Institute. Scott is a wonderful guest, and we've had him on numerous times because Scott stands up for the truth, and he's like the men of Issachar. He understands the times and what Israel should do, or in our context, what Americans should do and what our country should do. And the scripture makes it clear what we should do. Old Testament Judah shows us, Israel shows us, we have to repent. We have to get our hearts right with God. God is the answer for America. Now, you no doubt heard that at the Kamala Harris rally just some days ago, two college students went there for the purpose of standing up for Jesus. They, as she was talking about abortion and reproductive rights, just remember reproductive rights is the brutal murder by dismemberment of the innocent unborn. Sounds a lot better if she were to use that language. And we want to fight for the brutal murder by dismemberment of the innocent unborn. People would be, oh, wait a minute. So they call it reproductive health care. It's not health care, it's murder. But they stood up and they said to her, Jesus is Lord. And she says, oh, you're at the wrong rally, letting it be known that you're not welcome. If you think Jesus is Lord, you're not welcome here. And they were ushered out, and you can listen to them. They were interviewed, I think, on Fox and Friends, and they talk more about their experience there at that rally. But that's very, very telling, because the Lord is not welcome in a platform such as the Democrats have put forth. And, you know, the Lord is welcome. Trump welcomes the Lord. I don't believe he's a born-again Christian. Vance welcomes the Lord. I don't believe he's a born-again Christian. But they don't hate biblical things. They're not anti-Bible or anti-Jesus. And so we've talked about, you know, on this program before, cultural Christians. Cultural Christianity is awful in the sense that it inoculates people to the truth, but it is a better environment. Even Richard Dawkins, the atheist, says that he prefers cultural Christianity to Sharia law and the Muslims being in charge. Obviously, anybody would, because even Bill Maher says, he said this on The View, hey, in Islamic countries, I mean, for a woman, you have zero rights, and you have to cover up, and you're beaten, and you're it's a male dominated society, and you don't really have a voice in anything. Shut up, you're barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen taking care of kids, and that's kind of your situation. And so we would prefer as a nation to be in cultural Christianity versus anti-Christian culture. We are going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we're talking about the election. And that's what everybody's talking about these days, and the need for Christians to stand up and speak up and to vote, and to vote for the candidate who most aligns, more closely aligns to biblical values. And we know it's not a great selection that we have, just being honest. And but this is the selection that we have, between Kamala Harris and Tim Walz versus Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. So we have Sam on the line from Louisiana. Sam, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. Pastor, morning. I have early voted, and I voted for Trump. And I hope he wins. But I have concern if Trump wins, the violence that will ensue, that may ensue. I hope it doesn't, but the violence that may ensue, just from the left and from all of the people that are in this country that are not wanting Trump to win.
Right.
And so I have real concern about that. That I hope the governors will be at least prepared to have the guard on standby if the violence doesn't ensue.
Yeah, you would hope so. I think that's a given. If Trump wins, there are going to be riots all over the United States, and governors like Tim Walz, you know, they'll just let it go on, and they don't want interference. They want things to burn, and they want to burn police stations and loot and destroy, because they're part of the system that wants to overthrow the United States Constitution and how we do things and create this one-party state. So I think that is going to happen, and states like Florida, they're not going to put up with it. States like Texas, they're not going to put up with it. You can shut that stuff down very quickly, but you have to meet it with firepower, so to speak. You have to have enough presence to overrun the rioters, and you have to have consequences for lawless actions. If you have no consequences, if people get arrested and then released on the same day, as Kamala Harris was promoting back in the days of the riots, just not too long ago, then it's just going to keep on going. But you have to meet that resistance with law and order. Otherwise, it's just going to proliferate, and it will bring tremendous destruction to our country and instability to our country. But it's one of the things that I believe the left wants, so they would be all for it. But you bring up a good point, Sam, and we need to be praying for that, because innocent people obviously get hurt when lawlessness abounds and when there are riots. You know, we're First Amendment allows us to peacefully assemble, not to riot, not to destroy people's property. So good observation, Sam. Thanks for calling in. We have Chris on the line from Texas. Chris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, thanks for having me. I wanted to just talk about the election. I'm a Republican in a county in Rockwall County in Texas. Uh-huh. And we are greeting people as they walk into the doors at a voting location. And we came up with the idea of having a life-size cutout of Trump available for voters to get their picture with. They get their photo op with Trump after they vote for Trump and Republican down the ticket. And we've had mixed reviews with people, and many first voters, which was great. Many families came over to get their picture with Trump. But we had one gentleman who looked at us and shook his head, walked over and sat down on a bench, stood up and came back towards us. And I told my friend, that man's coming back. And he stood and stomped next to us and took his fist in the air and shouted, Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil, like he was Hitler and something. So we were praising Hitler. And so that a lot of them are thinking we are fascists because of what the statements they're making.
Right.
But there was a lot of positive out of it. I think I took 120 pictures the first day with people just saying, I want a picture with Trump. Yes, this made my day. And first time voters and families, a lot of families.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Trump triggers a lot of people. That we've heard a lot about the Trump derangement syndrome. That is really true. And, that's why I agree with Jenna Ellis. I wish Ron DeSantis had been the candidate to be the candidate for president. And I wish Trump had gotten behind him and just said, hey, my day in the sun is, over. He is 78 years old. Now, he's one of the most energetic 78 year olds I've ever seen in my life. I can't believe the energy that guy has. But I do think that he is such a lightning rod. People love him or people hate him. There's not a lot of in between with Trump. And so just having that cutout for those that love him, man, they're all for it. For those that hate him, they would be triggered like that guy was. And, I saw where Todd Starnes had posted about Hillary Clinton in a interview that she had done, where she, they say, well, Trump is Hitler. They like to do that. Kamala Harris said Trump is Hitler. And then a Barack Obama goes on the campaign trail and said, I don't understand why we have such division in our country. Well, calling the other candidate Hitler is probably not a way to unite the nation. And what I say about that is, hey, when he was president this last go-round, 2016 to 2020, he didn't do any of those things that you're saying he's going to do. And so the proof is in the pudding. And this idea, and then people try and say, well, he was for the January 6th insurrection, and you know, that's a whole long topic. But Trump didn't encourage that. He didn't tell people to do that. And, you know, so I think that's all contrived. But hats off to you for doing that, Chris. I think that is an opportunity for people. Hey, if you had a cutout at a different polling place of Kamala Harris, well, I may not have said, well, who wants to take their picture with her? But I'm not going to go ape over it. But here's the thing that I think. You have people on the left whose God is government. And people on the right, our God is not government. That's why it's harder to get people on the right involved and engaged. Christians know our citizenship is in heaven, and our God is over it all. And so we don't get that all that jazzed about the election, but we live here, and we need to be able to pass the baton of a free country to our children and grandchildren. That's why it's so important to get involved. So hats off to you, Chris, and thanks for calling in today. We have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Jeff Shrees, and boy, I get people turned on to this program. What I want to share is a scripture concerning protection over the voting and the polls of the places. Luke 12, and it starts at verse 2. There is nothing covered that won't be uncovered, nothing hidden that won't be made known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in an ear in private rooms will be claimed on the housetops. And we have been praying that all along for these elections and for everything that is hidden in the dark be exposed to the light.
Amen.
That's all I wanted to share.
Yeah, very good. That's a great Luke 12, verses 2 and 3. That's great to pray. God reveal the corruption and bring it to the light and expose it to where it can't be explained away. Because I was listening to a sermon just yesterday and was reminded that time and truth go hand in hand. Given enough time, the truth always will come out. And so we pray that would take place. The lies that we hear, you know, that are obvious lies, that the truth would come out and people would have to account for the fact that you're telling an obvious lie. We want that to take place. So thank you for that, Linda. We have Carol on the line from Arkansas. Carol, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
I want to speak to you about something of a warning that the public has not been forewarned of. These are things that I've followed for a long, long time. I'm in my mid-80s now, so I'm not a newbie at this.
But anyway, you sound a lot younger than that.
Well, thank you very much. But anyway, we are going to experience a famine. It's a planned one. They have been at it, planning the process. In 2022... they deliberately burned down 26 food warehouses that were full of food ready to eat. Mm-hmm. In 2023, it went on with the burning down, and about 26 more were burned down. And then it amounted to about 40 altogether at that time. And then the other night I saw Tucker Carlson on a video clip on Brighteon.com, and he said he was talking about the food scarcities coming and that there was another warehouse burned down. So that amounts to 40-some. Now, they also forced the farmers in 2023, the spring of 23. Now, mind you, we're always eating last year's wheat, okay? That's our bread. In 2023, they made the farmers plow under all their winter red wheat that was ready to harvest. And then there hasn't been any planted, really, to speak, other than some few individuals that are not owing to the government. And there's very few farmers like that anymore. Mostly the Amish, and they cannot provide all the bread we need. But the point is, they have printed up rationing cards already. I got this at least 3 weeks ago. And it was just roll out on October the 15th through November the 1st. And what they're doing is they're going in late at night. I've got this very straight from people who know that they are picking up, they're going into grocery stores with these tractor trailers, and they're picking up particularly the protein products. Remember, they declared Bruce's meat were to have listeria. They didn't. That was a false phony flag. Mm-hmm. And then before that, it was boar's head, and they threw all that meat away.
Well, they Carol, I'm sorry I'm out of time, but I appreciate what you're, where you're coming from on that. I think that there's a lot of truth there, and so we need to be vigilant. We need to be praying. Well, thanks for listening today to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I look forward to being with you again on Monday. Go out, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and pray, pray, pray for God to be merciful to America. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.